about Amay Vriya. And Rav Tohayna Sui Sakoso, which is in the Vilna Shas, the second line down, last one of the line, Hoya Nosui. You have it? Tesmanov, 17.
What's the second line from the bottom?
The top. Top. If you are married to the sister, this is actually a very interesting question. You were married to the sister of... you're married to the sister of your Amo Ivriya. Okay? You're married to the sister of your Jewish maidservant. You bought a Jewish maidservant who was your wife's sister. Okay? So, now, the halacha is, of course, as you learned last week, that there's a concept of yud by Amo Ivriya, right? If you want to use the money which you paid for her to marry her, that's possible. Okay? It's my focus. Which you saw as we were going to see again today, where at what point the marriage takes effect, but retroactively or from here on in. But Lamai said that there's the possibility of marrying her. Now, if, however, at the time you took her in as an Amo Ivriya, you were married to her sister, you can't. You at that point you were not suitable to marry this Amo Ivriya, right? You couldn't do you to her. So Yenosis Achosa Umeso, and then you were married to the sister Amay Vriya, and then your wife died, right? Manda Marbisof Nitan Kesav Liudim. You says that the money becomes yud money at the end, meaning when the master decides to do perform the yud, there should be the word ain on here. Ain, the Gilead Ephraim puts the word ain. You don't have to give other money. Why? Because since it's not retroactive, the fact that she was your sister, an heir to you at the time that she became an Amma is not a problem because the yud occurs now, right? It doesn't occur retroactively, it occurs now. However, Ma'adam Arhil says, Ma'adam Arishar Rishoyna Nitan Kesef Liudim, he says that from the get-go, the money was given for the purpose of yud. It is retroactive. So then, take out the word Einah, again according to the other frame, Tzirka Kesvacher, need another money. Because the money given at the beginning of the process was given at a time when this woman cannot become your wife. So therefore that money given for that purpose cannot serve as the Kesav Kiddushin. You have to give additional money now in order to contract the marriage. Okay? Now, says Marno, the truth is, Afilu Kuman Domar, even according to Bin, which holds. Now here again we have to change it, even the Korban Eid changes here. I feel Amar Basof Nitan Kesef Liudim. Even if you owe that the money only becomes converted to yud money at the time the yud occurs and not retroactively, nevertheless Sikha Kesef Achish needs additional money than be Makadisher. Loma, why? Because everybody can see a Kiddushin types in Barayas. Everybody agrees that Kiddushin does not take effect by an erva, right? You can't be Mekadesh a woman with an erva, who's an erva. So, for example, if you want to go up to your wife's sister now and say to your wife's sister, you are Mekadesh to me after 30 days. What? After I kill your sister, right. So it's not a valid... it's not a valid Kiddushin. And even if you give her the money now and say... hold on to the money until such time as I can be Mekadesh legitimately until such time as I've killed your sister. Hold on to the money until then. It's still not a valid Kiddushin. Why? Because at the time you gave the money, it's a Dovah Shlobo Lolam. It's not possible to be Mekadesh's woman. So therefore, the money given is a meaningless gesture and it can't even take effect later on. The deed has to be begun from the beginning over again. So to me, since at the time that she was taken as Amay Vriya, the yield was not possible, so therefore if you want to initiate it later on, even if you owe the money begins later on, not retroactively, you have to start the whole thing over again. Okay? Well, again, why is that? Because everybody agrees, Kiddushin, Tovsin Barayas, everybody agrees that Kiddushin cannot take effect in Arayas. Mizbar Savar, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this is actually a question. Does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda hold even Yehudin Da'achi Kiddushay Torahin? Does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda hold that Yehudin over here are Kiddushay Torah, that they're like all other Kiddushin in the Torah, or they're not like all other Kiddushin in the Torah, not like other marriages? And what's going to be the ramification? We'll see in a minute. Rabbi Avun said, Asya, the Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Yosef holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The time that we learned, Rabbi Pikadon Shiyesh Libiyotcha, if somebody has says wants marriage, marry a woman, because Shiyesh Libiyotcha, actually, with the object for safekeeping, which he had given into the woman's hands. V'holcha. After she acquiesced, she went, Mitzah, and she found Mitzah, so Shenigna Voshavad. She found that the object was lost or stolen. And so, if there's still part of it there, in the Shtayr Shom Shaveh Pruta Mekudeshes, if there's a Shaveh Pruta worth of the object left, then the Mekudushin is valid. You laugh that there's not even that much left, in a Mekudeshes. Okay? Then the marriage is not valid. If a husband says, and why he wants him a potential husband, a suitor says he wants to encourage a woman with a loan which he has outstanding against the woman, which he will be moichel, and he'll be makayasher by nos mechilas milveh, with the benefit of, with the pleasure she gets from the loan being forgiven. Vocham etzlasa, and she went and found that the loan shenignava or shenevda, which she had in her hand, was lost or stolen. I feel understand about Shara Pruta Mekudeshes. Even if there isn't a Pruta's value worth, she's married. Why? Because in that case, since Milva lo tzonid, now Milva doesn't, the loan doesn't, does not manifest in actual money or objects, right? Because if you lose that money or objects, you have to give other money or objects, because loans are different than objects for safekeeping, right? I'm safekeeping, that's the object. If that object is lost, then you might make restitution, but it's not the same object. By a loan, the loan was meant to be spent, and it was meant to be replaced by something else. So therefore, even if there isn't the Shavu Pruta left of that, as long as the loan itself outstanding was the Shavu Pruta, Zandoa being Moicholit is still there, and therefore that's a valid form of Kiddushin. Hashem Belazar, Mishimai Meir said, not true. There has to be opportunity for something substantial. Not just to the benefit, but a tangible benefit. Milva pikadon. A loan is like a gift, option of safekeeping. In the Shtayr, Shom Shavu Pruta Mekudeshes, if there's a Shavu Pruta left, then the Kiddush is valid. Love, and if not, Eina Mekudeshes. It's not Mekudeshes. Now, the Gemara Katika brings out, says, why do we bring this down? Kumoda Shimon Elazar, Ovid Milva Kippikodon, just like Shimon Elazar says, a loan is like an object for safekeeping. Kain Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Ovid Yehudim Kimilva. He makes yield like a loan. Now, how do you make yield like a loan? We didn't say this today, but we saw it last week. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that whenever he's Makadish her through yield, there must still be enough money outstanding in her value. Remember, as she works off for 6 years or until she becomes an adult, her value becomes less and less and less, right? Because she keeps on deducting from the principal. It's called Giron Kesef, right? And also, at the same time, her mice, she's making mice a dime. She's making handiwork at a certain rate. We don't know exactly what that is. Rehesita says, there has to be enough value in her handiwork left at the time the yud is done that it's a Shavu Pruta. Okay? So we see that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds that yud works like regular kiddushin, and just like kiddushin, has to be at least a shav or pruta of actual value left in order for the kiddushin to take effect. So to hear by yud, there has to be an actual shav or pruta left. You don't use the most yushonos. It's not the first money which was given to the father of the Amoy Vriya. Rather, has to be a shav or pruta left, which you are now being meicheler. You're saying, you know what, I'll marry you and you don't have to work for me anymore. And I'm meichel the remaining value. I'm meichel to you the mighty adayim. That must be there in order for kiddushin through you to take effect. Okay? So that makes it tantamount to you to kiddushin doraisa. Okay? So it says, So pasuk in Shmos Chofav, it says if to your son you will be miyayid your amo ivriya. This actually is a sugi we have back in your vomis. Leave no miyato, you will do yield to your son, and vein miyato lochiv, you can't do yield to your brother. In other words, the master's brother is not a candidate for yield. So it says more, v'yidena lochiv mikav chomer, let him do yield to his brother, let him be able to yield, that literally means designate. Let him be able to designate the amo ivriya to his brother because of a kav chomer. A son who's not a candidate to chalitza yibum for a father. The father can designate the amo ivriya for his son. If his brother who can serve in his place to do chalitza yibum takes the place of his brother, then his brother dies. And then she had then alone. This is not a kav chomer. That you should say the brother should be able to do yield. He should be able to be designated to marry the Amavriya instead of his brother. So here we have to throw in the line which comes two lines down. Look where it says Talmud Lomar, two lines down from here. So Talmud Lomar, you have it? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Vim leave no miyadena. If to his son he will be miyader. Leave no miyada. To his son he's miyader, then miyader achiv, not to his brother. So that's more going back to where we were before. Loim amartem ben shu kantachto b'stei achuza. Because a son takes a father's place in inheritance, right? In portion of inheritance. So therefore, put in the word, the next four words from the next line. Dinu shiadena lo. Therefore, since he inherits a father, logic dictates that he should be the one to be miyayid. Tamar ba'achiv, as opposed to a brother, she'enu kam tachto b'stei achuza, who does not take a place, no, which does not inherit, the youth cannot be directed at a brother. Now, why? Because it says, again, we're going, skipping the lines in 34, even though he, but yadena, it says to his son, and should be leave no miyada only to a son, and Pena miyada li can be miyad her to. Oh no, this is a new thing. Sorry, it should be leave no miyada. You do it to your son. Vena miyada ben beno, but not to your grandson. Can't be miyad to your grandson, only to your son. Shmuel Barabba boy kumi Rabbi Vizira. So Shmuel Barabba asked for Rabbi Vizira. I don't understand. Reparshas Nachos, in terms of inheritance, ad avi ben keben, a grandson is like a son, that if there's no son, it doesn't go to the brother, it goes to the grandson. V'acha leis ad avi ben keben, so why by yud, don't you see that a grandson is like a son? Some rabbis here said, man dom ali, adam milsa, anybody explain to you why in terms of yud, in terms of designating the Jewish maidservant, you can't designate to your grandson, only to your son. Anybody explain this? On a mashkele kunditon, I'm going to give him fine wine to drink. And Sarvinachim responded. He said, Hare Pashas Nachlos. Look at the Pashas of Nachlos themselves, of inheritances. Hare Asisa Achkeben. You made a brother like a son. Mushakov of Keben. And all other relatives like a son. At Ose Ben Keben. So therefore, you also make a grandson like a son. The kind of where by you, where we just wish a loss, he saw Achiben, that a brother is not like a son. Therefore, the child called Krovin Kiben, you don't make any other relative like a son either. Therefore, Einad Osa Ben Kiben. Therefore, you don't make Ben Kiben, then we don't make a grandson like a son either. In other words, precisely because we do exclude brothers from doing you, so far do we exclude grandsons as well. Rabban Kisoyim gave a different answer. They said, "Mizim Rabban Kisoyim, Rei Pasha Satuma." Look at this, and I like their proof even better. A Kohen cannot go to his grandson's levaya, nor can a grandson Kohen go to his grandfather's levaya, right? And so we say, "Rei Yisisa Ach Keben," and you can go to your brother's levaya. A kohen go to his brother's Levi, even though he can't go to his grandson's Levi, and vice versa, right? So, nevertheless, you made a brother like a son. And other relatives as well like a son. Yet, ben keben, grandson's not like a son. So if over there, if a brother whose Levi kohen can go to doesn't have yud, certainly a grandson whose Levi kohen can't go to doesn't have yud as well. Armin, so they said, also kinditon. There are two answers here to Rabbi Zeir. Rabbi Zeir lost his wine twice over. One was that in inheritances itself, we see that a grandson is a distant relative. The other is in Parshas Tum, we see that a grandson is a different distant relative. So therefore, that's why there's no yud for a grandson. Okay? If you do yud to the kid, Ladas, it's got to be with the kid's intent. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I hear the Ritbaz in Yevamos, and here changes the gears, it should be Amar Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi said, Leis Kan Das. There is no Das for yud. What's the boy? If you don't need Das, what could the boy be? A minor. It's a Kiddush. And here you have marriage for a minor, right? Yud can be marriage for a minor boy. Normally say minor boys cannot be Mekadosh. But here, yud could potentially be with a minor, because only Das of the kid, right?
So is the yud actually marriage, or just designation for marriage?
It's marriage, it's confirmation too. Okay? Right. Okay, right. No, that's true. That you're right. It's not unheard of. That's true. But still, it's a chiddush that this is such a thing. So, well, you're right. It's not such a big chiddush.
Doesn't the child have to be when he gets bar mitzvah?
Well, that's a child of their mezech tivamis. Whether the one over between 9 and 12 works, he has to do it over again.
So here it doesn't have to.
Yeah, it seems like, right, it's irrelevant, because the marriage is the consummation, is not the marriage. The year, the youth itself is the marriage. Right. I'm Rabbi Yaakov Baruch. Rabbi Yaakov Baruch said, Iskan, now, here I photocopied this because I made a lot of changes on this page. So, the truth is, this page is messed up here in Kiddushin, but in Yevamos it's okay. So almost all the changes that I made here are actually changes which appear in Yevamos properly. But some of the changes are not. So Iskan, now, the way in Yevamos actually I had a different shot than I have here, just going to do it like I did here. Iskan Ladas, okay? Here we have the concept of Das going to Rabbi Yaakov Baruch. So Rabbi Yaakov Baruch says the child has to be an adult. Okay, I'm putting the word ladas instead of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. The Mashbiach does that. Okay, so he argues, machlok, do you need to have das or not? I'm Rabbi Shul Baruch Dior, do Rabbi Shul Baruch Dior, I feel to him even to say leiskan Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, even don't know like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is coming up later on. Rabbi Yosef is on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, where he says that interesting halacha. He said if actually we don't paskum like him, but he says that if a father designates his daughter for being Amoy Vriya to a certain individual, and then he goes and marries that daughter off to another individual, so that's legitimate. He actually gets away with that. Even though technically speaking, Amavir should be a road to marriage, he still has the right to marry off to somebody else. Okay?
Does he have to give back the money?
No. Doesn't seem like that way. It just says he laughs at the master. That's what it says. So I feel the tema, Leis Kan Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you don't hold like again the lace, I changed the east to lace. That's a mashpia changes. Basically, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda take off a little katan. He who the mashpiach changes it to lekamon, and he says actually the words lekamon were later in interpolation to the Gemara because the Yerushalmi rarely uses words like that. The Shaiat Eretz Yisrael in Yevamos has a different correction here. He turns it v'lo katana he. But all right, let's leave that out of this. Let's learn it the way the Mashbiach learns it. He says, "I feel table lays kind of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda again." I went back a line, lekamon, or without the word lekamon, v'leave no yadena. If you marry off to your son, you marry the amavi off to your son. So instead of take out the word ladas. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Miyada Ben Libno Godo Ben Libno Kotan. Yochanan says you can do it whether to your adult child or your adult son or to your minor son. You know, I'm really bothered by this. Just a second. I'm really bothered by what he did a line ago. I'm not so sure I like what I wrote, what I did here. Screw. I don't understand that line. This the first line, the end of this first line of the page. I'm sure of Duma Afilu Tema. And again, according to Mashbiach, Leiskan Krabiosi Brabi Yehuda El Kamon. Well, it's a non sequitur. What does it have to do with this Gemara? It's bothering me. I'm not sure I understand how he interprets that line here. One second. You know what? I'm going to learn the way I learned in the Yevamos. Because I see that I can't figure out now what the Mashbiach wants out of this. So let me, I have it written down here on the side. In my note Dalet. But I'll give it to you outside. The Rabbi Yochanan had said you don't need the Das of the son. Rabbi Yaakov Bracha says you need the Das. Yeah. No. Oh, Rabbi Yossi, sorry. Rabbi Yossi said you need the Das. Rabbi Yaakov Bracha said, Rabbi Yossi said you don't need Das. Rabbi Yaakov Bracha said you do need Das. Why? Like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda said? Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda said that the Kiddushin takes place, like we said, previously, not the Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, which is coming out of Daf Yudam and Alf. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda before in Daf Testament Alf said the Kiddushin takes place at the time, not retroactively, but at the time that you declare it, and there has to therefore be a Shava Pruta left in the amount of work which she owes the master. Okay? So therefore, you need to have Das, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, because obviously at this point in time, it's taking place now. It's taking place now. It's similar to regular Maisa Kiddushin, where therefore it says regular Maisa Kiddushin, so you need the Das of the child, of the son of Zum, it's occurring. Amar Rav Shulba, said, no, I feel Tema, I'm not going to change it. I feel Tema is kind of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Even like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't matter. The low cotton who If the Torah doesn't differentiate. Torah doesn't say it has to be a gadol. It says, even though you're a dana. Bno could be cotton, bno could be gadol. Right? No matter what, it can work. And therefore, you don't need das in order to affect it. You need to have a shavu pruta left. You need to retain the simulation of regular kiddushin. Nevertheless, the whole kiddush of yud is, yes, it simulates regular kiddushin, but it doesn't actually need das. Okay? Now we have the same machlokas over again. Vivno yadeno. If you bring yai to your son. Lada, to take out the word ladas, mashbil, does take out this consent. Makes a difference if it's your minor or major son. Ben ladas, ben shaladas, whether it's intentional or unintentional. With the so son's intent or not. It only is to your adult son, and it must be with das as well. Okay, now, let's cut and paste. Let's go down four lines here where I have the star. Right, you see the star? The Amar Rav, right there where I have that diagonal line. Amar Rav, well, let's put this in here. Amar Rav Yavun said, Asya, and it should be Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan's going to look Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda? The Tani, we learned Ben Tei, Shoshani, V'yoy, Mechad. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan's the one who says not, he could be a cotton too.
The Tani, we learned Ben Tei, Shoshani, V'yoy, Mechad. If a child is9 years and 1 day old, va'ad ben shteimis rishon until 12 years old, v'yom echa, v'shevi shtei saros, and it brings 2 hairs, ha'rei zeshuma, it's a wart. Rabbi Yosef Yudomer, ha'rei elu simonim, it's considered to be an adult. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Mishim, Rabbi Yosef Yudomer said, v'ein sh'om dobo b'shah simonim, as long as they remained in him at the time when he becomes an adult, meaning there's those 2 hairs from the time he's 9 or whenever they appear, to the time he comes to an adult. Rabbi Yossi boy, Amdubo, let's say they did remain in him. Mishas Simonim, until the time when he becomes 13. Mafeu Nasish, does he become an adult retroactively? Or Mikhail Abba, does he become an adult from here on in, from the time he's 13? So we say it's not a warp, but he only because he comes 13 do they become Simonim. It's retroactively. And kosher came to Bolaba. And certainly to the future. In other words, even retroactively from whatever time they appeared, as long as they remained on the body until it became 13, it's valid here of adulthood. To Patale, now we say, he explains, Hadar, the should be again Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. That was what Rabbi Yochanan said, that even a katan can do yud, it's like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that is simonim or valid simonim. Says the Gemara of Velamales, it should be Velamales de Rabbi Yossi. No. Velamales Rabbi Yochanan. Pata, it should be Lama Lace to Rabbi Yochanan. 1 second. Lama Lace. Lama Lace. No, take a Rabbi Yossi, just take out Rabbi Yossi. Lama Lace, Pata, Hada, the Rabbi Yossi. It's he changes this one to Rabbi Yossi. The Lama Leis, again, the first one just take out Lama Leis Rabbi Yossi, take out Rabbi Yossi. And it should be Lama Leis Pato Hada, and here put it in the Rabbi Yossi, because on Omer Alf the Mashbiach it changes to Rabbi Yossi. The Lama Leis Pato Hada, the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi as well, Rabbi Yossi and Omer Alf. On Rabbi Yossi said, do Tzrichole, because this is a question by Rabbi Yossi himself. Rabbi Yossi himself was unclear. Rabbi Yossi asked a question. Rabbi Yossi boy, kumi,
Rabbi Yossi asked in front of somebody, he doesn't say in front of whom. Omdo b'shas simonim l'mafreya. I guess it's in front, it said before, in front of Yaakov Rabbi Boon. So it's, he asked for Yaakov Rabbi Boon, omdu bo b'shas simonim, if they remained there at the time that the adulthood, l'mafreya nase ish omikan l'abba, does become an adult with my prayer retroactively or from here on in. Now, well, let me say it outside the Gemara, even though it's very confusing, and I see now that I don't like it very much at all, but to be honest with you, but the Gemara starts saying Rabbi Yochanan Zerk, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, which is very difficult, because Rabbi Yochanan, that means that really, even though he's under 12, 13, he really has to be an adult. How is he an adult? Because it means that the going like Rabbi Yossi, the simonim, which come under 13, if they remain there till adulthood, are considered to be valid adult simonim. He's saying Rabbi Yochanan only works out according to that. Which really, the truth is that Reish Lakish should also be able to agree to that. Reish Lakish they has to be an adult, but it must be Reish Lakish argues Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Reish Lakish of the simonim, which come under 13, are never good simonim. And Rabbi Yochanan also is not saying that you can take place then to a katan mamish. It can only take place to a katan who has simonim, which remains till becomes a gadol, and then like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yitaka is a gadol. That's the way the Gemara is explaining it according to what we just read. Now, according to the Mashbiach's changing Girsa. Now, the Gemara asks, well, didn't Rabbi Yossi and Amav say the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan? Again, according to the Mashbiach's change, the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan also said that he can be Mekadosh a cotton, and be Miyad for a cotton. So if that's the case, so why don't we say that Rabbi Yossi also took Rabbi Yossi Yehuda? That the Gemara says, no. Because Rabbi Yossi's question, Rabbi Yossi is the one who asked, do we hold, Rabbi Yossi is the one who asked, do we say that when the simonim remained in the lad till the time he's 13, does he become retroactively a gadol or from here on in? Now, from Rabbi Yossi's, question, we see that Rabbi Yossi himself was willing to countenance that perhaps under 13, the simonim are not yet valid simonim. Yet at the same time, he said that it could be miyai to your son who's a cotton. So it must be he doesn't necessarily hold like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, we can link to Rabbi Yossi and say, he holds when he said a cotton, he didn't really mean a cotton. He only meant a cotton who has continuous simonim until the time he becomes a gadol. Right? Which really makes him tantamount to a gadol. But right, it seems Rabbi Yossi, from his question, he said he's not sure what the status is according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Whether those simonim work retroactively or only from the time he's 13. And yet Rabbi Yossi had said, you'd work even to a child under 13. It must be that Rabbi Yossi is willing to countenance that you'd work even to a child who is a katan gomor, an absolute katan. Okay? So that would be now the Gemara is coming out that Rabbi Yochanan holds that's not really to a katan gomor. It's only a katan who has simonim like Rabbi Yossi Buda, and that they work retroactively. Rabbi Yossi holds, even if the simonim don't wear it retroactively, even if it's cotton gomer, still the yud can be a valid yud. Okay? So that's the gist of this Gemara. Now let's go back to where we were before, which is where I have the little bays in the Gemara. Okay, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top. Ben teisha shanav yoimechon. A child was 9 years old in one day. Osa amal kohen gadol, he makes a if he is miyabim a woman, and then the woman dies, so she becomes an amon if it's a kohen gadol. If he's a miyabim woman, then she becomes a grusha, he divorces her, chalutza does chalitza to her, the kohen ediot. She becomes also a kohen ediot. Now the Gemara asks, al daite the Rabbi Yochanan, it should be again according to Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, now here there's a lot missing. the I have it written on the side in my handwriting, and it's also in the Korban Eda where I have the lines extra Korban Eda. So this is all taken from Yibama, so you can look either on the side of my handwriting or in the Korban Eda. I prefer to look in Korban Eda. It's probably clearer to read. You see the where the line begins, my lines next to Korban Eda, it says Hey Gimel, right at the top over there. So I'll see none. I died to Rabbi Yochanan. Do patla biyudim. Korban Rabbi Yochanan says that there's yudim. There's yud by a child who's under 9, well, under 12. Nicha. It works out. Yudim sheish lo kinyan ba. It's not talking about by yibum. It's talking about through yud. He made yud in her, and he made a kinyan. So therefore, also amar kohen gadol. P dies. His wife of this cotton is amar for kohen gadol. A grusha, if he divorces or does his wife, then she becomes a grusha. Or if he dies and then somebody else does chalitza, she becomes chalitza kohen gadol. Bal daiter Rabbi Shimon Lakish. According to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, do patla b'nisui, he says, which what he means of patla b'nisui means that it only works, yud only works if it can be an absolute true nisui d'oraisa, meaning if the child is already a gadol, right? So if that's the case, te patura mina chalitza mina yibum, so she should be patur from then how we have such a scenario where a child who's between 9 and 12 can affect a kiddushin which will then require chalitza and yibum. Korn reish lakish, it's not going to work by yud, because yud doesn't work between 9 and 12, nor should it work it shouldn't work by, well, it's not going to work by you. That's basically what the Gemara is asking. In other words, where's the scenario where a child between 9 and 12 can affect all these halachas on his wife? It's not a valid marriage unless he's over 12, right? But here we learn, Nosa Ishu Meis, continuing the Korbanada, if a child under 12 marries a woman and then he dies, his wife is potter, is exempt mina chalitza mina yibum. She's exempt from chalitza yibum. So according to Reish Lakish, how do you have such a case? So the Gemara is going to try and answer that. Let's go now, go back to the Gemara. The Gemara is right after where I have the closing diagonal bracket. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines to the bottom. Okay? Nicha amana l'grusha. I can make a case where a cotton makes an amana or grusha. What's the case where a cotton makes an amana or grusha? The partner Shabbalem Mishigdil. He had a relationship when he was a cotton, and that wasn't a valid marriage. But then he had a relationship again when he grew up. Right? And then afterwards, Nasa again, he gives her again. The partner, or another case, whereby Bab Chalitza has a work, that Shabbalem Umeis. He had raised her when he was a gadol again, and then he died. V'chotzul achim, and the brothers do chalitza va'yodem inaseis chalutza, and through that he becomes a chalutza. So it says more, but yeah, the problem is if that's the case, mi'ata fiu pachos mi ben tisha. If that's the case, why when he's 9? It says specifically in the Mishnah above us a katan who's 9 years old. But you're saying that a cotton who's 9, well, of course, if you're learning the case is a case where it's not because he's 9, but rather because he had relations with her again when she was an adult. So why stop at 9, even if it was 3 when he married her? As long as that relationship again when he's an adult, she can still become an almona, grusha, or chalutza. Says Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Barab Duma Shmuel said the key. You're right. He could have said when he was 3 he married her. And it began the tiny kulan teisha. But because there's a whole series of cases in the Bible and it's an edge as well where it talks about being 9 years old, right? In order to be arayus, right? In order to make bichayv and arayus, has to be 9 years old. In order to be chayv to create yibun, has to be 9 years old. So there, with this case also, Tana of Adoyimon, this is also mentioned in the context of being 9 years old. Okay? Raina and Pazim Rabishim Levi said, May Achaz Lamad Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda learned that one can become a Gadol under the age of 13 from Achaz. The time we have a Bryson, we have this back in Yvamas as well. Achaz Holid Ben Tesha. Achaz, I don't know if we have this in Yvamas. We had it somewhere, I think. Achaz gave birth when he was 9 years old. Vahara, in other words, he conceived. Right, he was a male. And Vaharan ben Chesh Horan conceived when he was 6 years old. The Kalev, finish that page. Down here. The Kalev ben Eser. Kalev was 10 years old. According to Binyan, also Kalev ben Chetzer, who Kalev ben Yefuna. Without getting into details, only according to Binyan that the two Kalevs mentioned in Tanakh are the same Kalev. The Mepharshim go through the Cheshmer how we know they're that old, but it's beyond our capacity for now. Okay, period. That's the end of that sugya, the difficult one. Now comes a much easier one. And as I mentioned this before already, Machas of Akicholazet. Her father sells her to one guy and is mekadesh her to another guy. So sichei kol ba'adon, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda, the father could say to the master, nana, 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 you know, I, it's your tough luck. I have the right to marry up to anybody else. Chachomim, chachomim say, lo sichei kol ba'adon, he doesn't have the right to do this. And therefore, he cannot laugh at the master. The master laughs at him. How does this work, according to Chachomim? Master Koyim Relisha, it's as if he said to a woman, Harei Mekudeshesli, you're married to me, La'achar Shloshim Yom. So therefore, in essence, in the Yud, already is dormant the marriage. And therefore, the father has no right to say, wait a minute. Ilu, Oyim Relisha, somebody says to a woman, Harei Mekudeshesli, La'achar Shloshim Yom. Somebody says to a woman, you're Mekudeshesli after 30 days. Upo'achar Mekitcha Betok Shloshim Yom. And somebody else comes and marries her within 30 days. Shemein and Mekudesh Shein, she's now married to the second guy. So, if that's the case, it's as if the marriage occurs 30 days hence. So during those 30 days, anybody can come and marry her. So too, the father should be able to chop a rein before the youth is acted on, and then be able to marry off to another guy, like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda said. Right? So it says more, no. Rabbi Yehuda responded, it's like me actual v'lachrish lo shimim. It's like a guy who says, you're married to me from now and after 30 days. So therefore, the from now means the process already started now. The process already started now, so therefore nobody else can insinuate themselves. So there's more. Is that true? Somebody says to a woman, you're married to me from here and after 30 days. And somebody else comes and marries within the 30 days. Is she not married to both of them? This is actually a famous case also in the Bavli Kedushin. If you marry a woman and say, you're Mekudesh to me from now until and after 30 days. So during your entire first 30 days, the marriage is building but not complete. So somebody else can actually come and insert themselves. And they should be married to both. It's a fascinating case, but really it works. It's one of those rare paradoxical cases, because we always say that Kiddushin can't be married to two. Yeah, but she's not a full Ishish. He structured the transaction in a way that she's not a full Ishish. So ever during that time, somebody else can come and marry her.
She's her mom's heiress?
No, of course it's mom's heiress. Oh. Right, because she's an Ishish to two people.
Oh.
She can't have relations with either one. That's how it comes out. Okay? So that's the case. The father should at least be able to mess her up. They should be able to marry off to somebody else that should be married to two people, right? So Sesmar, you're very big Kiddush. Sesmar, no. It's talking about a case of mikvar l'chsheyirtze. The case where somebody else can insert themselves, if you said, Areim Kiddush, mikan l'achr shloshim yom, and you didn't say l'chsheyirtze, that I can pull you in within the 30 days. So in essence, I set my Kiddushin as being minimal, as not maximizing itself until after the 30 days are over. That way somebody else can come in and insert themselves within the 30 days. But if I said I can come anytime during those 30 days and complete the Kiddushin, That means that at that point, I mean, that means that those 30 days are not a twilight zone, but rather just at my discretion. I'm just waiting to come in and finish it off. So therefore, in that case, somebody else can come and insert themselves. So I don't know if I'm describing it well enough. But if I say you're mekudesh for me from here and after 30 days, and I don't say look she'erze, so it means during those 30 days I only have a partial kiddushin. Because I actually set myself off limits to this woman for the next 30 days. I'm not married for the next 30 days. But if I said you're mekudesh to me on the outside 30 days hence, but any time I can come in the middle and complete it as well, then in that case, I didn't set myself off limits, and therefore somebody else can't come and say, well, you only partially mekadesh, and you limited yourself, I'm going to come in and be mekadesh as well. In that case, nobody else can come in and be mekadesh. And the same thing, Chachamim hold, is true by Yud. Since the moment he gave over his wife, daughter's Alma Ivriya, he said, it's at your discretion now, whenever you want to marry her, you can marry her. So in essence, his bailus is enough that he can prevent anybody else from coming and marrying her. Like the case of where a guy said, I'm marrying her from here and after 3 days, and but I can complete it any time I want. So,
she comes up with the master, the new master, then says he has some aspect of mastery over
her issues.
But not fully?
Not fully, right. I mean, he has an exercise to full extent. It's like an option. He has an option over her issues. That option is enough to prevent anybody else coming. That really is what it boils down to. Where you don't have an option, such as you say, that's just after 30 days, not within 30 days. You didn't retain an option for those 30 days. Then somebody else can come and insert themselves. But where you retain the option, that potential mastery is enough to fend off any other comers. That's what the Gemara is saying.
Try to make some analogy to Mimer.
Mimer is a good analogy, actually. Mimer, if you know, Mimer works to rice, yes. It's a similar idea. Right? Mimer would deflect anybody else, even though it's not a full consummation. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a perfect analogy, but it would be a similar idea. Not bad. Okay? Now it says about another amazing bomb chiddush, and the Gemara itself and Yudalf, I think, will quibble with this. Mayone Yeshua at the bottom goes nuts over this. He says, "How can this be? Hakomoidim, everybody agrees. However, Shemisia, that if the father doesn't just betroth her to somebody else, but actually does nisuin, meaning he gives her to somebody else for bia to this amoid ria." Then the father just thumbs his nose at the master. And the Mayan issue again goes nuts. He says, what difference does it make? If the Adon has mastery, has the option to exercise whatever you define it, so what difference does it make if the father gives it to somebody else for Kiddushin or if he needs to it? It makes no difference, right? Well, my said should be bias nus if he gives it over to Nisuin. Shouldn't be anything more than that, right? So my Yeshua gives an answer which I don't know if I like, but I don't have anything better, certainly. He says the master has an option. But if he's the shtika kodo, if he sees the father giving the samba ivriya to another guy for Nisuin, it's as if he actually relinquished his option. Because since it's an option, so on inside that it may be Kiddushin and remain silent. If he saw the father, he Mekadesh or somebody else. But if he saw Nisuin and remained silent, and he really had some Havmina to exercise his option, then he would not have remained silent. So remain silent as if at that point in time he relinquishes his option. Okay? I don't know if I like it, but that's what he says. What? It is weird, yeah. But I don't have a better interpretation than that. Okay. Says my, let's go quickly, then I'll get the Yudav and Rav. Lama. It says, Kim Koresh is Bito Lama. And we dash in that Lama, Lama Bilvan. You can sell your daughter just to be an amma, meaning melamed shemarchala, you can sell your daughter to as a slave. Umasimo, and make a stipulation with the master, that he won't be me either. He won't marry her. Divrei Meir. Chomerim lo so klum. Such a condition is null and void. She's no mashakosa b'torah. It's master mashakosa b'torah. To make a condition against that which the Torah said. The Torah said, Amivir leads to yield. Chom master mashakosa b'torah. But he makes a condition against that which the Torah says. It's no but, it's null and void. Says more of Leisrei Meir called Master Mashkos B'Torah to know Batel. So Akhar doesn't Rei Meir agree with that principle. He holds of it. Of course, he holds of it. However, I'm sorry. He does hold of it, but this is the way to read it. Islay, he has a hold of this following Kiddush. It was a fascinating Kiddush. I remember this from the Bavli. Tonight. Efshar l'lom l'kaimo b'sofo. He holds that t'nai against the Torah works if it potentially won't go against the Torah. If it's a t'nai which the Torah allowed him to exercise. Meaning, I don't know if I didn't make that clear. Let me somebody make it clear now. Meaning that ultimately he doesn't have to be meider. Right? The master himself can decide not to be meiter. So not master mashkos b'teira. Master mashkos b'teira is if you go against all options the Torah gave, but the Torah gave the master an option not to be meiter. So if it is not master mashkos b'teira, yes, the Torah wanted there to be an option, but the Torah also allowed for the option of not marrying her, right? So all the husband is doing is saying, I want all the. The father's doing is saying, I want to lock you into option two. That's not Masa Masha Kosaba Torah, right? I'm locking you into option of not marrying her. That's not Masa Masha Kosaba Torah. So that's not, well, that's not a good svara. Valesi Rabbanan, Tanai Shef Shalakayim of Sofa. Why do Rabbanan all of this svara? So it's more East. It's a fascinating answer. So more Eastland Tanai Mama. Rabbanan old. I can lock you into an option too, if it's a t'nai mamon. But this, v'zeh t'nai guf. This is a t'nai in the guf, meaning amo ivriya is not just a monetary thing. It's a status thing in the woman herself. And there, you are changing the status the Torah granted her. Meaning granted the master over her. It's a fascinating lumdish svara. In a t'nai shem moment, you can lock a guy into an option, whichever option you want, even if it goes against the primary option of the Torah. But a t'nai aguf, since amivri is not just a monetary ownership, but a status, so then you're changing the whole status of amivri, because amivri, by definition, according to Rabbanan, is a status which can lead to marriage. And to lock that off is diminishing the entire concept of Am Ivriya as expressed by the Torah. So therefore your Tanai falls off. It's a fascinating distinction. That's you don't like it, do you?
My mind is...
On the phone?
That's the problem with the mind. The mind may have sure that you mentioned.
What?
There is a... Shtika Kodah is a din moment. Yeah. It's not a din in a... You were talking about issues. You know, it's an aspect
yeah.
of a Torah. That distinction the Gemara is making here, I think, is the problem with the
I know you're sure, right? Because it's not like a shtika kodah, right. You see. So you're dealing with the actual status. Yeah, right, that's true. Okay, so it says, well, wait a minute, it's not working. Tanai shebaguf. What? I'll prove to you, Tanai shebaguf also works. Says, well, Vatani, didn't we learn? No, see, what Isha? The man can marry a woman. Umasimo and stipulate with her, Nasha lo ye lo alof, lo share, lo ksus lona. You can say, I'm not going to support you, not with share, not with ksus, not with ona. So share is food, and ksus is clothing. Nigo share ksus, that's mama. But ona lo tonight gufu, how can stipulate against ona? If you hold that tonight goof, you can't go against the Torah. Ona is tonight goof. So another amazing Gemara. It's an amazing Gemara. You can't make a condition against an adult woman not to provide her with ona, because that's changing the tznai shebeguf of the marriage. You hear what he's talking about here? When you could stipulate when you marry a ketana, you're not going to provide her with ona, because she doesn't need it as much. So therefore, for her, it's not a tznai shebeguf. For an adult, not to provide her with ona is a tznai shebeguf. For a ketana, even though the marriage to her is d'oraisa, it's not considered a tznai shebeguf. It's an amazing concept. I guess she doesn't enjoy it as much, so therefore it's not as essential to her, so therefore by her it's just a minor, like a monetary condition. I don't really understand it, but the more I say that by, there's a difference in ona when you're married to a gdolo or when you're married to a ketana. Okay?
Physiologically,
I guess so. Not physical reproduction.
Give her a lollipop.
Yes, yeah. Give her a lollipop. Okay, says the Gemara. Mamakaim hada Tanya lama. The Tana who says that there's no tamasa mashkos b'tera to change the status of Amavriya, she must be susceptible to Yud. What does he do with Lama? It sounds like he can sell only for the purpose of Amma. So now let's the Gemara says, actually the Mashbiach says, we have to put in line over here from two lines down. Some Rabbi Yisrael Bun says, Tipater ba mona min erusin. That's two lines down from here. We're talking about Lama means we're talking about a woman who was already Amana Mina Erusin. She was already Amana once before. She's a girl, she's a minor, but she's an Amana. And nevertheless, despite the fact she's an Amana, you can sell her even to Kohen Gadol, despite the fact that then there will be no Yud, because Kohen Gadol is now allowed to be Miyader. So there, it's not the father's making the Tznai, it's the halachic status of his daughter. So even if he owes it, you can't make a law. You can't make a stipulation personally because it's masa mashkos b'tera. If it's a halachic barrier, you can still sell, even though she can only be an ama and not a wife. And going back to the two lines, yeah, but the mashbiyah is chosen a brad d'tanya. With the brad some morcha amon al kohen gadol, you can sell a girl even if she's an amon al kohen gadol or a gush chalutza divorcee or a chalutza to a kohen hediot. Okay, now that we're asking yet another question. Ma'amakayim, the Tano holds, Ma'amakayim hadan Tanya le'ima, what does the following Tana do with Lama? Sorry. What does the following Tana do with Lama? A new Tana. V'atani. And it's a new concept. Ma'amakayim hadan is bito le'ishus. A person can sell his daughter for marriage. Or sell her again to marriage. In other words, first you don't succeed, try again. Of course, only if she had erusin the first time, not nisuin, right? Once nisuin occurs, she goes free. But he tried, he can do it again. With shivas, he sold her to be a shivcha and rama. Yishrein, he could sell her again, first time didn't work out. And ishusacha shivas, he could also sell her for marriage after she was not made free if that didn't work out. But he can't sell to be an Amma Vriya once she was already married. So if that's the case, how can you can't sell a girl who's an Amana as an Amma Vriya to Kohen Gadol? Not because there's a halachic limitation in that she can't undergo Yud, but rather because of the special halacha, you can't sell a girl who's once married to be a slave. Right? So if that's the case, where do you have a scenario where la'ama means that she's sold only for the purpose of slavery and not for the purpose of wifery? Okay? If you hold that you can sell for bimasta mashkos b'tera, so you have such a reality. If you hold that you can sell for shivchos achar issues, you have such a reality. But if you hold that you can't sell for shivchos achar issues, then how do you have such a scenario where a woman can be sold for slavery, not for wifery? Now, the truth is, if it was up to you, I would give a very simple answer, but the Gemara does not give my answer. I haven't said she's a mamzeres. You're selling your daughter as a mamzeres, right? So she became possible for marriage to the Adon, but not via a prior ishus relationship. So I don't know why the Gemara doesn't give that answer. Right? Even a nice, simple answer. The Gemara doesn't give it. Says the Gemara, it's not that I remember. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon said, Tanoin, it's Machlokas Tanoin. Mad Islay Amona Lekoin Gordel. He says, he holds Amona that the scenario is the case of Amona Lekoin Gordel. That's the scenario where you sell Amma, and not for only for slave and not for wife-a-re. Islay Shivchus Achrish, he holds you can sell for slavery after she was once a wife. Mad Leitze Amona Lekoin Gordel, he holds that you cannot, there is a, we're not talking about a case of Amona Lekoin Gordel, but rather the case of Masha Kozabatera, holds that, he holds that way precisely because Leitze Shivchus Achrishus, he doesn't know that there's only any sale for slavery after she was once a wife. Ma Mikayim, Hodein Tanya Lama. So if that's the case, let's say you hold the Avatana holds, both you can't do Master Mashikos of Torah, and you can't sell for slavery after wifery. So if that's the case, what's he going to do with Lama? So again, I would have given my answer, Mamzerus, but they want to give a different answer. Which is just as good as again. So about a case where the master was married to this girl's sister. So then she's talking sold for slavery, not for wifery. Why? Because she can't become the wife of the master, because the master is married to her sister. Okay? Tani Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Kishem Sheino Mochel, Shivchus Acharishus. He argues the piece where just like you can't sell for slavery after she was once married, Aflo Shivchus Acharishus, once she was sold once, and Rashi brings down the Torah. Once you sold once a shivcha, you can't sell again as a shivcha. Ma'ita Hashem Ba'yuchai, where it's large of Hashem Ba'yuchai, because it says, Be'bigdo ba, he's selling her for slavery, is called by Torah treachery. It says, Bigdo. Bigdo is singular. Pa'am achasu bogey ba, he can only be treacherous to her once, then a bogey ba, pa'am shia, not a second time. Ma'am akaima rabbonu, the rabbonu say you could hold sell her multiple times for slavery. What do you do with the pasuk of Hashem Ba'yuchai? So they say, Vibigdoba is not a lotion of treachery, but a lotion of garment, a talis, a chuppah. Came Shapire's talisa alea, once the master spreads his talis over her and marries her, put his beget, and la viaba rishus, her husband, her father, no longer rishus, even if she, her husband dies or divorces her. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, boy, come right, be over, Shimon ben Lakish, ask for Yochan, I'm ready for Yotze ben Nisuin. Does an Amoy Vriya go out? Now, this truth is this where the Gemara which he had on top of Yunam Beis, where the Mayone Yeshua went crazy. So Rabbi Shimon Lakishir seems to ask it the question. An Amoy Vriya, if her father marries her off to somebody else while she's an Amoy Vriya, does she go out of being an Amoy Mikavachomer or not? Maim Simonim is Simonim, right, becoming an adult. If they don't take her out of her father's domain, because she still has a half year until she becomes a Bogeris. But they do take her out of her master's domain, right? Nisuin, marriage, which does take her out of her father's domain, is not a Kavchomer, takes her out of her master's domain. That was if the father marries her off to somebody else, like the Gemara said, on top of Yudam Beis, that should take away from the master. So Rabbi Yochanan seems to argue in that previous Gemara. Says, no, Amar Le Ani, Ein Li Ela, Shel Mishna Yisera Olav. I only have the terms listed in the Mishnah. Yisera Olav, Amoy Vriya, she could not see Monim. And Amoy Vriya is one advantage over Evan Ivri that she goes out with Simonim with her adulthood, but not by being married to somebody else. So it's not clear to me what Rabbi Yochanan means. I think what Rabbi Yochanan means is that even if the father marries her off to somebody else, Nisuin, it's null and void, and she remains an Amoy Vriya. It's possible, whatever, then that would argue on the Gemara on top of Yudam Beis. It's possible, whatever, that Rabbi Yochanan means, although I doubt it, is that even though he marries her off to somebody else, she still has to work for this guy until her term is up. That's a possibility. But she's still a domestic servant, even though she's married to somebody else. But I think the push-up shot is that even by trying to marry off somebody else, doesn't work, she still remains Amo Ivriya, and the nisuin to the other individual does not take effect.
She has a day job and she has a night job.
Right, that would be the other alternative, the one which I didn't like, but it's a possibility. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening.
I have very Samuel's
Domicade. It was